This episode of Scorebook Live Today is brought to you by Washington Federal, a proud partner of Scorebook Live. Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch. And thanks for tuning in to this week's Scorebook Live Today podcast. It's Thursday, May 30th, the 2018-19 year of high school sports, officially culminating with the spring sports championships last weekend. And the Scorebook Live Washington crew is here to recap the entire year for you, or at least try to. I'm Andy Bueller, and on the line I've got Dan Dickow, Scorebook Live columnist, and senior reporter Todd Millis. We're going to give you our top five moments from the entire year. How you guys doing?
Things are great on the east side of the state. It's been an exciting time to follow all of your guys' coverage of the state tournaments, whether it's baseball, softball, track and field. There's been a lot of good stuff going on, and it's been fun to follow it.
Yeah, I'd like to echo what Dan said from the west side. A lot of good things to cover this spring, and it was actually nice to get a three-day weekend out of it, too. So it was a long few weeks there to end Spring Fest.
No question. I think this is the first time that we've all three been on the podcast at the same time. I'm here out of the greater Portland, Vancouver area. And Todd, you're up in Tacoma. And Dan, like you said, in Spokane. So we're really making good on the statewide coverage motto and tracking, you know, each corner of the state.
Yeah, I think that's one of the unique things that, you know, we're trying to do with Scorebook Live is, you know, cover the state of high school sports much differently than it ever has been covered before. You look at some of the coverage that's been made in the past by other groups, you know, it's been very localized. It's been one area, and that's been the focus, where we understand and we appreciate and we agree that that's very important, but how does it fit within the context of the entire state? And by us canvassing, you know, all the major pockets within the state of Washington, you know, we aim to really dial in coverage for each and every area and each and every level. And I think we're starting to really do that, and people are starting to trust what we're bringing because of some of the great people that are on our team, such as you guys.
And it was nice to have that championship weekend last weekend. Todd, you were in Lacey at 3A softball. I was at 3A, 4A baseball in Pasco. We had reporters and correspondents at state track in Tacoma, state soccer, and really tracked across the state. So that it was nice to get under, you know, that first championship weekend, you know, for myself, and I'm sure for you, Todd, to get that first championship weekend under our belts, which is a nice segue into today's topic, which we each have our top five moments from the 2018-19 high school sports season. And so each of us have made a list of five in ranked order. So what we're going to do now and what I'll have you guys do is, I guess, starting with Dan, if we start at number five and just say, you know, go through what your fifth best moment from the year in high school sports was. And so it's interesting. We kind of all came at the high school season and experienced it in different ways. Todd, you being up in Tacoma. I was down at the Columbian covering a lot of the Vancouver schools, which had really successful years. And Dan, on the east side of the state. So I'm looking forward to this, and without further ado, Dan, if you want to start us off with your number five moment from the year.
I think for number five moment of the year, I've got to go with the dominance of Mount Spokane's basketball program at the 3A level, both for boys and girls. Neither one won the state tournament, but they both made the state tournament championship final, and for a school to be able to say that they've got teams on the boys and the girls side playing for a state championship, I thought was pretty darn impressive. David Pratt on the girls side does a very, very good job. Aspen Adams, Avery Adams, Emily Nelson, Jada Noble, they all had really good seasons. Unfortunately, they ran into to Prairie High School and lost in the state championship game, who has two Division I players in their own right, and Cassidy Gardner and Brooke Walling. But I think that on the girls' side was phenomenal for them. And on the guys' side, Mount Spokane, the boys, they just continued to improve throughout the season. You know, the really only check marks or negative marks on their season was losing to Gonzaga Prep leading into the state tournament. And then they ran into an O'Day team that was finally healthy with Paolo Banchero. But for them to get to the state tournament and then lose in the state championship game after beating a really good Rainier Beach team in the semifinals was very impressive, because where that program was 3 years ago before David Wagenblass took over, to put it nicely, is they weren't doing too well. They didn't have a ton of commitment. They didn't have a lot of passion in the program. They didn't have a lot of players that were really willing to go the extra mile. And so for both the boys and the girls programs in Mount Spokane to make the state tournament final at the 3A, I thought was an incredible moment.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a heck of a final game too, on the girls side against Prairie. I remember watching that game on the live stream from the Yakima Sun Dome, and you know, just kind of being on the edge of my seat. That was a great game, and what a testament to the culture under that roof to have two programs do that.
Without a doubt, yeah. Their athletic director Paul Kotzman, he sets a very nice tone for all sports. I know, obviously, I'm focused in on basketball right now, but their football program has been tremendous. Their baseball program has been very good in recent years, and their volleyball program as well. So, you know, there's a lot of good things going in Spokane at Mount Spokane High School.
No doubt. Todd Millis, number five.
Well, you would think that Dan and I had sat down and actually discussed this, because I'm actually talking along the same lines, and I'm going to broaden it. There were four schools that kind of caught my eye around the state that enjoyed a great deal of success athletically across the board. Mount Spokane was one of the schools I actually listed, and you could even throw in softball, other sports. I mean, but basketball and their football team, obviously the way they came to the forefront this year was very impressive. O'Day High School making the state championship in football, losing. I know we get used to O'Day's greatness, and then their basketball team winning. I also had Mount Si, a newcomer, 4A championship game appearance. Their football team made a lot of waves with Kale Nolan, who's at Oregon now. That group, those juniors and seniors, kind of bringing their athletic programs to another level. And finally, I think the fourth school I listed was Union. They were, you know, there's a lot of great things going on in Southwest Washington, as you know, Andy. And for Union's football and basketball teams to do what they did, you know, being largely undefeated and, you know, and going into the postseason in basketball, obviously going undefeated in football and winning the 4A title, it's fun to watch these types of schools led by these one or two classes just sort of bring it to a state level, not just in the fall, but in the fall, the winter, and the spring, much like Richland did a few years ago when they won football, basketball, and I believe baseball all in the same year. It's those kind of runs are fun for me to watch, and it just so happened that we've had three or four schools this year kind of have that, enjoy that kind of success.
Certainly. Yeah, no, across the board. And, you know, I was able to see O'Day's baseball team, which made it to the 3A state finals this past weekend. And you know, a really, really impressive run for them, although it fell short in the state title. So my number five is going to be it's a basketball pick, and it's an individual performance at the 2A level out of Washougal, Washington. Beyonce B., scoring 30 points, grabbing 15 boards in an OT win to lead Washougal girls to its first state title in program history. That was a 49-40 overtime win, and she scored 30 points out of her team's 49 points. Just a completely dominating performance for the Idaho signee. her senior year, the year after getting knocked out in the first round of the state tournament with, you know, this a lot of the same roster, same coach. And so to go back into that building and just really put on a dominant performance, she was just unstoppable, you know. And so was able to see that in person and was just incredibly impressed. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's not the last time we hear her name as she's headed to the Big Sky. So now on to number four. Dan, do you want to start us off with your number four pick?
Yeah, for sure. For my number four moment, I'm going to go Haley Van Lith from Kashmir. She is an unbelievably talented left-handed point guard who is very fun to watch. I have not seen her in person, but I've seen enough highlight clips. I've talked to enough coaches across the state and read enough articles, both of what we've done throughout the year as well as some other groups have published, to know that there's something special about her in Kashmir. There's a reason why, you know, at age level, USA Basketball is kind of having her as one of their cornerstone pieces. There's a reason that some of the top programs in the country are recruiting her. And, you know, I'm not allowed to say names of what college coaches, but I have talked to two or three college coaches on the girls' side, and they said she is absolutely phenomenal, and she's going to have an – I don't want to say an easy transition – but she's got the kind of game that can transition very well to the next level at the college game and have success.
Still got another year left, too. Whenever she plays in the Yakima Sun Dome, for the last 2 years I've been there, and whenever that Kashmir team plays with her, you just see the dome fill up to watch her play. And that's really quite a spectacle to see, you know, people really flock to watch one individual player. So that's a great pick. All right, Todd, number four.
I'm going to also stick in basketball, and we're going to talk about greatness, but only on the coaching side. You know, this discussion always comes up right around the postseason. You know, who's the best basketball coach in the state, and or the best basketball coach in the state? And there's always a handful of coaches that come up, but the if I had a son that I needed that I wanted to develop into a, you know, for in all the right areas of basketball, toughness, defense, understanding the game, the one person I would send him to is Jason Kerr at O'Day. He won three championships at Franklin. He had a great deal of success, not only team wise but sending individuals to Division I programs, the NBA, and for him to get this O'Day team together, and Dan alluded to it, they had a lot of injuries. You know, they had to win some loser out games just to survive to the next round of the postseason. For him to get this team together, despite not being fully healthy and having one great player, as you mentioned, Paolo Banchero, but to get them on a run at the right time, I thought it was his best coaching. I thought it was his best coaching effort of his career. And I know he's in sort of his second stint as a coach after taking a couple years off to spend more time with his daughters and get his house renovated. But it's nice to see him back. The state's much better off with Jason Kerr coaching in it. I know he's sometimes a little gruff with the media, but that doesn't take away from the fact that this guy is a fantastic developer, game coach, stands for all the right things, and quite frankly, it was nice to see them come on top. And he's now one of three coaches, along with Tim Kelly and our favorite point guard Brandon Roy, to win 4A and or 3A state championships with two different schools. So congratulations to him. It was fun to be in the building and watch it.
Yeah, that's a great pick. So Todd, you're number four, Jason Kerr's best, perhaps best coaching performance yet. My number four is a bit of an interesting one. So Muckleshoot Tribal School, there is a distance runner named Rosalie Fish. She won three state titles in distance this past weekend and finished second in the 400. And she did so while advocating for missing and murdered Indigenous women. And I can link to this story in the podcast notes, but Runner Space did a really nice article on her that went deep on her passion and activism as a Native American, and just her awareness of, you know, when of the risk and the higher risk of going missing and doing so, and just running, like distance running as a woman. She trains with a really small track team in a community where, you know, it's not like she was raised around, you know, a ton of transcendent running. That said, an incredibly, sounds like an incredibly driven self-starter and a very accomplished athlete. So shout out to Rosalie Fish of Muckleshoot Tribal School for her 3 state titles. She's headed off to Iowa to run at a JC there. That's my number 4 pick. On to number 3 picks. Dan, what is your number 3?
I'm going to stay in the center of the state at a small school and go with Brock Ravet out of Kittitas, the Gonzaga signee, who will be a freshman this next season, becoming the all-time leading scorer in the state for boys in high school basketball. He's had a tremendous career. A lot of people many times will discredit numbers or stats that come from a smaller program or a smaller community, and I think you're always going to see that. But if you were to watch Brock Ravet play, if you were to watch his team play, who won back-to-back-to-back state titles at the 2B level, you would realize and know that there's something different about Brock Ravet, and that he was a special player, and that he has a chance to be a very good college basketball player. Granted, for any player making the transition, there's work to be done, there's adjustments to be made, but you know, for Gonzaga to say, hey, we pinpoint you early in the recruiting process, we're going to offer you a scholarship, and for him to commit and then him to continue to improve and perform at such a high level was impressive to me, and he became the all-time leading scorer in the state at the boys' division.
Yeah, that's a great pick, Dan, and another kid that falls in the category of, like, yeah, you know, he's playing a basketball game. People are just going to show up to watch. Were you able to see him play at State B's there at all?
You know, I've seen him play a number of times over the last couple of years, both in the summertime with AAU as well as at summer leagues and fall leagues here on the eastern side of the state. I did not get a chance to catch him at 2B, but in talking with the coach at Kittitas, who's also his father, Tim Ravet, and other people around the state, you know, he answered and was ready for every challenge that came his way the senior year, because I can guarantee you this, every team was geared to slow him down and stop him, and nobody really could. And it was awesome to see them finishing with the three-peat at the end of his high school career.
No doubt a name that we will continue to hear at Gonzaga. Todd, your number 3 pick?
Yeah, I'm going to go a little different route here on number 3, and that's the swan song of Mike Colbreeze, WIAA executive director. At one point, he was the third longest tenured executive director in the country. He started the year before I came to the Tacoma News Tribune in 1994, so I spent my whole career with him as a journalist. Yeah, I mean, he's taken some criticism on the way he's dealt with a few individual issues involving certain schools and recruiting. He's always a popular target for that. But I look at some of the programs he's developed, some of the diversity he's created within the association, the way he's gone about expanding classifications, the way he's come up with a reclassification model, on and on. He's a personable guy. You know, very media friendly for my purposes. He's been fantastic. And to see him kind of exit stage left, and it's been hard. But I'm also looking forward to seeing Mick come in from Vancouver and a new era being born. So I think Mike Colbreeze leaving the WIAA and retiring was a big story in 2019.
Definitely, yeah, and you are spot on with the media-friendly aspect, at least in my experience as well. So congrats to Mike on a great career, which just now, you know, is coming to an end. My number 3 It's a little bit inside baseball, but it's 1A basketball. I'm bringing you guys back to the Yakima Sun Dome. This past year, Kingsway Christian out of Vancouver, I covered them throughout the season, throughout the past couple seasons, and their scorer, Kalfani Kaysen, in the state finals, or in the state semifinals, I should say, played through a separated shoulder that he had suffered at the game before and hit the game-winning shot to lead Kingsway to its program-first 1A state title appearance. And this is a kid that's just, you know, he spent a year at Skyview, big school in Vancouver, and you know, went back to Kingsway. But any coach, you talk to any coach that's coached him at the high school level, and they will say that he is going to be bugging them for keys to the gym before school, before anyone's at school. He's just someone who just put all the work in, and I'll link to this as well in the notes, but I interviewed him after, like, you know, not 2 minutes after he hit that game-winning shot and to give Kingsway a 10 seed, its first 1A state title appearance, which it lost to Zilla. But just he gave a really emotional and honest interview just about work ethic, and it was really a moment that was really striking. And I think, you know, anyone who even if you didn't follow their season, any fan of high school sports would appreciate someone's work paying off like that. So that's my number three. On to number two, Dan.
My number two is, there's been a heck of a list of players in the last 15, 20 years from the state of Washington that have been granted the honor of being a McDonald's All-American, and we had another one this season, and that was Jaden McDaniels of Federal A High School, who just announced his commitment to go to the University of Washington and play for the Huskies and Coach Hopkins next season, which I think is fantastic. But anytime you have a player that is essentially regarded as one of the top 24 players in the country, that's pretty special. That's something that needs to be recognized. And he was a player that, you know, he was always known in the state, but really before his senior year, he broke out on a national level and started really climbing up a lot of the national rankings and being respected there. And he was recruited by some of the top programs in the country, including Kentucky, UCLA, Texas. But ultimately, Mike Hopkins got him to stick home in Seattle with the Huskies. So it'll be interesting to see how that finishes, or how that plays out next season. And that will be something to keep an eye on. But congratulations to Jaden McDaniels, that young man, on that big-time honor.
Definitely. And again, it seems like a trend of this this list from all three of us, but a name that we're going to continue to hear well beyond this year. Todd, you're up.
Yeah, it's kind of sticking with individual greatness. My number two moment is a guy in your neck of the woods down there, Andy and Lincoln Victor. It's always fun to see a team, a program, kind of ride the shoulders of one player's greatness for short spurts. I'm not saying he was the entire team at Union. Union was very talented under Rory Rosenbach. But in key moments, in the fourth quarter of two games that I went to against Puyallup, in two games that they had been outplayed for six of the eight quarters, this young man at quarterback and in the second playoff game at cornerback stole the show. I mean, his will to win, his ability to make big plays was so much fun to watch. He went from a good player that we sort of knew about to the state player of the year in 4A, and arguably the most exciting player to watch in leading Union to a 4A state title. I think sometimes recruiters miss the boat on him. Hawaii's getting a heck of a football player. I think people are going to have fun watching him the next 4 years playing wherever he's playing.
Todd, you stole it right out of my mouth. Lincoln was my number two pick as well. And just covering him throughout the season, and we were both at. I wasn't at the second Puyallup game, but that first one, I think he was. Correct me if I'm wrong. And if you're a Union fan listening to this, feel free to tweet at me and just tell me I'm completely dead wrong. But I'm pretty sure he was like nursing some kind of injury in that first game too. And just the ultimate team guy. someone who could do it at multiple positions. He could have reasonably started for Union at multiple positions. And for him to come in at corner in that second game that you were at, Todd, he hadn't played corner all year. And he stepped in one of the biggest moments of the season and was a lockdown. So great story with Lincoln leading his team to Union's first foray state title, which is hard to believe with what that program's been able to do. But Lincoln Victor, former ball boy, when his brother Capono was a running back and I believe a linebacker for that team, when they went to the state title in the early 2000s, Lincoln was age 8, I want to say. And he was a ball boy in that same, in the Tacoma Dome. And he made it his goal to lead his team one day to the precipice, and he did. So, heck of a story. That wraps up number two. So, the top moment, according to us three, of the 2018-19 high school sports season. Dan, what's it going to be?
Well, I think any time you can kind of have a connection in the state with your sports fans, and that can be from high school to college, college to the professional ranks, I think it's very important for the health of a sports community. And I think you're seeing that big time in the state of Washington because of what occurred on the boys' basketball side this season. I think essentially four of the top players, in many people's opinions, the top four players in the state all decided to stay home and play for state powers. And there's some other kids that you could include in this conversation that stayed home to play for state powers. But the four that I really want to focus in on, going to University of Washington would be Jaden McDaniels, who I mentioned as my number two, the McDonald's All-American from Federal Way, playing for Coach Hopkins at UW in the upcoming season. And we'll find out if it's going to be more than one, because many people predict him as a one and done to the NBA. But they also got maybe the most undervalued player on the whole entire West Coast from a season ago, at least from what I've heard from a lot of people, both high school basketball fans who are very knowledgeable, as well as some college coaches, is Raekwon Battle from Marysville Pilchuck. Somebody who is got better size than I think a lot of people thought early on in his high school career. He's a better athlete than a lot of people thought, but the thing that stands out to him is his shooting ability. Everybody raves about his shooting ability. And so for UW to keep those two guys home, I thought, is a big story. And then the other basketball power being Gonzaga in the state. They got the WIBCA Player of the Year, Gonzaga Preps, Anton Watson, who decided to stay home here in Spokane, who maybe didn't get the amount of national acclaim as Jaden McDaniels, but honestly, there are a number of high-level college evaluators, talent evaluators that feel his upside is as good, if not better, than Jaden McDaniels. That's one of those things that you can argue on it for days. My point would be these are two both very good high school players. Both had a lot of success individually as well as a team. And they both have a chance to be very good college players. And, wish them both the best of luck as freshmen. And maybe that parlays into a professional and NBA career for both of them. And then the other player going to Gonzaga would be Brock Revay, who we touched on as being the all-time leading scorer for boys in the state of Washington. Gonzaga keeping another one of the great players in the state home. I think it's always important, whether you're talking football, basketball, baseball, softball, whatever it may be, if your state schools at the college level, whether it's a large state school like a UW or Washington State or a private school like Gonzaga, if they can keep their local talent home, I think that creates a lot more in-state buzz and energy about those programs. And I think it also helps the high school game because people are excited, like, hey, this kid might have a chance to play at this school next year where we can kind of keep our eye on him even closer. So to me, that's the biggest story in the state. I think Coach Few has always done a nice job getting local guys that he's targeted. Coach Hopkins, I think, is making that a priority as well. And so I think that's the biggest story in the state for me.
No doubt. That's very, very, very similar to what my my final pick is. But before I go into that, Todd, your number one moment from the high school season, the high school year.
Well, I think everybody likes a worst to first story. And my number one moment, I know, just happened on Saturday. But Garfield High School softball. Now, think about that for a minute. When we think of Garfield High School, we think of fantastic basketball, a nice little run by its football team a couple years ago, track and field. We don't think about softball. In fact, they were one of the worst teams in the country 5 years ago. And for what Ken Simpson and his two daughters and that group to do, one of the most diverse programs you're ever going to be on a softball diamond in a sport that's sort of a money sport, for them to come over to Lacey last weekend and take home a first state softball championship was phenomenal. And he talked about some of the challenges that they had this year. You know, they got a $5,000 grant from the Seattle Mariners just to buy softballs and uniforms and necessities just to play the sport. There's socioeconomic stuff, and half his team was on free lunch. The last month of the season alone, they had three lockdown situations with gunfire in the vicinity. I mean, things that, you know, and he's not downplaying the area. It is what it is. Other sports programs have to deal with it too. But for that team to still rally around and say, hey, that's not going to knock us off what we would need to do, for them to come over there and handle their business and have a lot of fun doing it. They just enjoyed what they were doing. And to do that in the rain on a Saturday afternoon and beat a team that had actually beaten them at state last year in Yelm to win the 3A state title, that was one of the most enjoyable moments I've had, not only this year as my number one moment, but in 25 years I've had covering high school sports.
Wow, that's awesome. That is a heck of a story, Todd. I know I'd followed a little bit of it based off of just following SB Live Wall and things throughout the playoffs, but you know what? You might hands down win that one, but Andy's still got a chance to chime in here, so let's see if he takes the top spot.
Well, Todd, we should have just let you go last, because I've got my last, my number one choice is very similar to Dan, to yours, and it's just the showdown in the 4A state semifinals. In basketball this year between Anton Watson and Jaden McDaniels. It was the second year that those two had a showdown that late in the state playoffs. In 2018, of course, it was in the finals. And Anton Watson led his team to a second 4A state title in a row. And his game against that's 4A state semi, I mean, what... I'm not sure you're going to get as good of a semifinal matchup as that. Just the spectacle and what those, just the potential, like you had talked about, Dan, with obviously Jaden McDaniels being, as some project, could potentially be a top five pick in the 2020 NBA draft, but Anton Watson potentially having just as high of a ceiling. I think one day we're going to look back at those two facing off in high school, and this year was both of their senior years, and we're really going to say, wow, this is was truly an amazing feat for Washington High School sports, and for that to happen this year, 2 years in a row, for it to be a great game, and for Anton Watson to win both of those matchups in two seasons, I would put as the top top moment from the year in high school sports. That's all three of our top fives, and I gotta say, not a ton of crossover, so that was really refreshing. So thanks Todd, and thanks Dan for bringing it. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, it's been great getting this podcast kicked off to wrap up and finish spring sports. We're going to be doing a number of things throughout the summer to continue to cover high school sports in a unique way, but also prepare for next upcoming season, because,
You guys both touched on some football stories that happened this past year, but we'll be able to get ahead of the stories for the upcoming season as well as get ahead for basketball. So we've got a lot of things on the docket that we're all excited about being able to cover and share about high school sports in the state of Washington.
And you know where to find that on www.sblivewa.com. You can also find this podcast anywhere you get podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, so you can dial it in on your Amazon smart speaker. And be sure to catch us again next week on the Scorebook Live Today podcast.